Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Talk with Ricky. I'm your host with the Paranormal Truth Seekers. Thanks for listening in as we start tonight's podcast. Let us begin. Thanks for listening. All right, welcome everybody who's listening. All my audience is out there. This is Ricky once again with Paranormal Talk. And tonight I have my good buddy Josh joining us. All right, Josh, go ahead and say hello.
Oh, my bad. Hello. Sorry.
Go for it. Go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Josh, obviously, as he said, and been friends with Ricky since I met him back in 2019, whenever I started at the same place we work at. Like, I've been into the paranormal since I was a kid. As a kid, I could see a lot of things that other people couldn't see. I experienced all sorts of crazy stuff, like, dream visions in real life. I grew up and we lived in haunted houses. Like, my family would always tell me all the different stories that came. So it's, like, always something that's fascinated me, but it's also a terrifying thing to me because, like, of the things I've really seen and experienced, like, I'm actually scared of it. So, like, I've actually not even been on a legitimate investigation because it's, like, a fear type of deal. My interest gears more towards, like, as you know, towards the extraterrestrial side of things and, the shadow side of spirituality and all that neat stuff. But, yeah, I have lived in Washington. I got 4 kids who keep me busy all the time, and I work too much. So
yeah.
Constantly tired and barely have time for stuff, but, here we are. That's what I'm trying to do, trying to take one small step at a time to do this kind of coming out and talking to people and telling my crazy stories and seeing if maybe we could learn something while also teaching somebody something.
And that is the goal. Definitely, I really want to thank you for joining me tonight. Let's see. So, basically,
I appreciate you having me, sir.
Oh, it's an honor. You got a lot to share, and I love listening to your stories, too. And, yeah, me and Josh were talking before, an interesting fact. We actually met at work, and I was actually his trainer. You want to go ahead, Josh, touch up on that a little bit and kind of tell us how, that might tie into the, synchronicity and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's in important to define synchronicity, too. So it's actually a term that was coined by Carl Jung, a famous psychologist. It means the simultaneous occurrence of events which appear significantly related but have no discernible causal connection. So it's like, man, I was just talking about that, or, I really believe in this, and you all of a sudden experience it, a day later, and you have there's no connection of the events. And what's fascinating about that kind of stuff is you got to look backwards to really see it in your life. Once you start to do that, it's like, holy crap. But anyway, it's kind of crazy. I start work at this random place, and the person I get put with, one in a million type deal, ends up, talking to me about aliens and all sorts of stuff. And it's like, holy crap. Like, what are the odds of this happening? And that's what fascinates me is, like, the odds of these types of events. Like, people just write them off like they're coincidences, and, like, are they really, though? Like, are these people put in your path? Are you, like, whatever you want to call it. That's why I think, that's why I do the whole podcast called Synchronized Universe, because, like, I don't necessarily think that there's a complete plan for your life, but however, if you start to look at things, it's like, man, how did that happen? It's a 1 in a million chance I meet this person, But yeah, we started talking a little bit about, I think I was reading that Slave Species to the Gods book at the time. I was talking, I started talking about, like, the Anunnaki and the Sumerians, literally just talked to you nonstop about that stuff.
Oh, it fascinates both of us, and we love that kind of stuff. Definitely.
Because I don't know, the regular world is not as interesting as...
you can say that again. I definitely agree with you with that.
Also,
I was just going to say, I don't believe in coincidences. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely believe everything happens for a reason. And I think that throughout our life, we're taught to write things off as coincidences so we don't look into things further and see that the universe really is a magical place like, you know, I mean, it is also random and chaotic. So it's more complicated than we all want to make it out to be. We all want it to fit in this nice little box, and it really doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have no idea.
So, like, mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. Like, the more I learn about, you know, the more books I read, the more confused I get. Like, there is no simple answer. There's not. That's what, I mean, we want it to be. We want it to be a simple answer, but there isn't. That's just a fact.
And that's why we do what we do, trying to find those answers.
Yep. I mean, it's fascinating to try to go to places and get proof of paranormal events, and mm-hmm. it's fascinating to talk about, you know, extraterrestrials and, like, how, you know, humanity really came to be, because sure enough, I mean, most people don't really believe the full story anymore anyway. Like,
yeah,
evolution,
like,
is flawed, creationism is flawed, like.
It's like we're taught what they want us to believe, even though it's not true.
Right. I mean, that really is true. Like, we are, like, that was one of the things that, I mean, now it's coming back to my mind. So these things that pop in, like that Slave Species to the Gods book, it's talking about, like, it kind of summarizes the Sumerian versions of these ancient stories. And, like, you start to read this stuff and it's like, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense. Like, and what it is,
yeah.
is essentially we've been enslaved since the inception of mankind, and we're being taught to believe a certain thing and believe a certain way to keep us mm-hmm. under control so we don't ever evolve.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. All right, so we'll jump into whatever you want to jump into. If go ahead and take off and let us tell us some things that you want to discuss. I know you like the extraterrestrial side of things, which I do as well, and the Naki and all that. So go ahead and jump into something and share it with us.
Oh, yeah, one of the things that has fascinated me most as of the last year and a half has been the Law of One series books. And, the more I read, the more I believe everything that's coming out of these books. And, like, there's been physicists and all sorts of people who have challenged the data, and they keep coming back that the books are, you know, legitimate. And it's crazy because these come from a, you know, supposedly channeled source, like a source that is, what, three densities above our own. So, like,
mm-hmm.
like, what I mean by that is that there's different dimensions of existence. So currently we reside in the third dimension, and when we die, you know, you essentially go to the fourth dimension.
Right.
Well, if you know, criteria is met, right? And so apparently as you go up, you go all the way up to, I think it's the eighth octave, as they call it, is the, you know, the trip backwards. But these apparently, this being or whatever, called, which is ironically enough called Ra,
right,
the same being according to people that contacted the ancient Egyptians, again, is from the sixth density. And, like, what they try to do is try to teach humanity, and they did try to teach apparently the Egyptians, but the teachings were flawed, you know, they were distorted, and you know, the Egyptians started enslaving and killing each other and human sacrifices, just like happened in South America. But, like, you really start to look at these ancient cultures and, like, what they built, and you got to, like, ask the question, there's no way they built these without somebody's help. And that's fascinates me, is, like, these, they're just, the mathematics are too perfect, the alignments, the stones are just ridiculously big. Like, they've mm-hmm. already proven that they could not have built the way that we're told they've been built.
Right.
Like, they're feats that we couldn't even replicate today.
And you're referring to the,
like,
pyramids, right?
Yeah, the pyramids, like, all over the planet. Not only just mm-hmm. the ones in Egypt, but the ones in South America, in China. There's all sorts of pyramids all over the world we don't even know about.
Right, but the most famous ones are in Egypt. But for whatever reason, the other ones aren't so well known.
Right, exactly, because, like, those are the ones that history wants to talk about. You know, you're like, oh, the Egyptians built them, end of story. Yes, I'm sure they did.
Simple, just that simple.
But
answer.
You know what? There is no simple answer.
There is not.
Yeah, this book. No, what fascinates me most about the Law of One series is that they say that you can. It doesn't matter what religion you believe in. It doesn't matter what faith you have. What matters is that you're of service to others. And at the core of most religions and most belief systems, that is the core of it, is to be of service to others more than you're serving yourself.
Right.
And, like, again, but most belief systems are also used against us as well to keep us believing a certain way and not go outside the bubble. And like I said, you can, they say you can believe in anything. It doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, the book suggests that you find a faith that you, that gets you close to the divine, and you know, go with that. But like, it's a in-depth explanation of spirituality that I've never read. And it's all from like a question and answer type thing. Like, you're sitting here asking me a question, but they're, the guy that's asking the questions, not only is he a physicist, first of all, so this is not a dumb man. He's asking really intelligent, complicated questions to this, you know, channel. So the person who's channeling is also in a trance state. For those that don't know what a trance state is, it's when you essentially, like, I don't know how to explain it exactly. How would you explain a trance state?
Like, if you're meditating, you're not fully conscious. You're kind of semi-conscious, I guess you could say.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what it means. So, like,
and you're more open to things.
All of us possess, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like the, you know, the Buddhist monks and all that have been doing meditation for thousands of years and teaching it. And, like, you can go in and out of these states of altered consciousness just by sitting there and deep breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because of the pineal gland of the brain. Like, so when you breathe in deep enough and actually focus on that, you activate the pineal gland, and that's our connection to the other side.
Right. Also known as the third eye.
Right. Third eye. Indeed, that is true.
That's good stuff, definitely.
Like, it, like, whenever I read this stuff, like, I get I get excited about it. I get, like, tingles in my brain. I'm like, man, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh.
We have, well, there's a lot about this subject in itself, you know. Now, if you want to go back to the beginning.
Back to the beginning.
Now, you could, like with the Anunnaki, for example, they say they're the ones that actually created the humans and put them on the earth.
Right. So that's, from the, according to the, like, Sumerian versions of the tablets. So, like, if you ever look in, just look it up. Just look into, if you ever have, anybody listen to this, like, look into the Sumerian, because you can find this up online for free. Like, the Sumerian cuneiform tablets, like, they're tablets that have been unearthed from the ground and have been translated over the years by multiple different people. And then, you know, the information has been compared and contrasted and et cetera. But essentially, they give a record of the creation of mankind that goes all the way back to, it's like 445,000 years ago or 450,000 years ago. And so essentially they came, according to them, they came from a different planet, and their planet was dying due to, you know, ozone depletion. So they were trying to save their planet, much like is what's going on here. You know, we're in a race to try to fix our planet. So what they did is they came here looking for gold, because apparently suspending gold into their atmosphere would protect, you know, rebuild the ozone later. So that's why gold mining goes back to the dawn of civilization. Why we were trying to mine gold when, at the beginning, for what? What reason did we have to mine gold? Who showed us how to mine gold? Who showed us how to mine ore from the rocks? You know what I mean?
Right. What is that?
Essentially,
right,
they came.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why? Like, so according to them, they came here and were, you know, mining gold for however many thousands of years. And so essentially they got tired of it and decided that they were going to genetically modify, you know, make clones essentially. So what they were going to do is they took the, I believe it was Homo erectus, and they manipulated their DNA with and spliced them with their own eventually after many failed attempts in a different method. You know, this is the, they eventually used their own DNA, combined it, and they were able to create these slave workers. And if you really, if you take the Old Testament and read it like it's a genetically modified thing, you know, like they were creating clones, it makes a whole lot more sense. You know, like Adam, you know, Eve was created from Adam's rib, et cetera. It's like they're using, you know, DNA.
And created
their
image.
But, Right. The original name, ironically enough, was Adamu. That's what they—that's what the name of the original creation was. Doesn't that sound very familiar? Adam.
It does sound very similar. Maybe Adam is more to simplify version for people to understand the name. But yeah, that definitely.
Right, and these texts that they've been carbon dated, man. Like these texts go back thousands and thousands of years before, you know, the Bible, before any of these ancient texts. Mm-hmm. And you start to read it, and it's like, okay, they obviously took – these are condensed versions of these old texts.
Mm-hmm.
That's stuff that might, you know, blows my mind. But you also got to take a lot of it with a grain of salt because, you know, if I'm going to write history about myself, I'm going to make myself out to look great, right?
Right, exactly. And that's kind of what
they did. According to the like the Sumerian text, like, again, they created these beings, and then, you know, they are working and working and working, and eventually, like, the Anunnaki started, you know, some of them started having sex with some of these creations, thus creating the Nephilim.
Right, like, the giants.
Apparently when they, that's what that comes down to be. And, like, again, you start to read it from the perspective that these were just advanced beings. They weren't necessarily gods, but they passed themselves off as gods to these lesser beings. And of course these lesser beings had no idea, you know what I mean?
They were, like, so advanced.
Right. I mean, you start to, like, really look into history, and like, if you read all the Zechariah Sitchin books, you know, that there's, like, the Earth Chronicles 1-10, it basically suggests that these beings lived alongside man. So all these old stories, you know, Hercules, all these advanced, strong, you know, godlike beings were actually real,
mm-hmm.
according to, you know, to these history books.
Right.
And it's just fascinating, man. But again, like, as I've gone on, I realized that perhaps these beings were taking all the credit for, you know, everything in our history, when maybe that wasn't actually true. But still, it's like, I believe that, you know, I believe there, you know, at least some of the version of how we first came to be, more than I believe a lot of the stuff like regular evolution or regular creation theory that suggests we're 5,000 years old, which is obviously impossible, but.
Right. We're much older. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's definitely a subject that, like, I know I talked to your off when we first started working together about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, we did.
You know what I just read? My goodness.
That is very cool. Like, for example, Hercules, he said basically they're considered demigods or the children of gods.
Right.
So that kind of fits in, too, with that these advanced beings created humans and found our women attractive enough that they, you know, wanted to mate with them, and it's created.
Right.
They call it demigods.
Yep. And, like, you know, people write off the idea of giants and all that stuff, but you look into Native American cultures, even in the United States, like, there's Native American cultures where they, you know, depict themselves killing off these giants, chasing them into caves, like, hunting them to extinction. So, like, there's records of this stuff. And, you know, there's prominent researchers that say that the Smithsonian covers all that stuff up. They'll find, you know, giant skeletons, and they cover it up. They whisk it away. And part of that reason is to keep, I don't know if it's to keep a certain narrative going, because maybe humanity, they think that humanity can't handle the truth. I'm not 100% certain. I think it's more of a darker thing. I think it's a web of control, personally.
It's a control thing.
Like, a lot of people can't understand why somebody would do that. But remember, if there is a positive side, there has to be a negative. The negative seeks to control power over others. Like, in the Law of One, they talk about it. There's a positive path. Like, let's say, you know, Jesus taught the positive path. You know, to serve others more than you serve yourself. Ultimately, self-sacrifice is the ultimate thing you can do. The others, they want control. They want power. They want to enslave others, you know, essentially, because they view themselves as essentially God.
Right, like Lucifer.
I mean, yes, yeah, that would be the Luciferian path. Whether or not, you know, like, I mean, I definitely do believe, like, Lucifer as a being. I'm not necessarily, like, I don't necessarily know if I believe, like, he's 100% the devil, but I think that he's been made into the devil, but he was really
a
man's being.
Like, I agree. And they say he's made of light.
You know, it's funny. Like, I don't all of a sudden it popped into my head about the Garden of Eden idea, and I forgot about that. So in the Garden of Eden, they make the, you know, how you got the snake guy, you know, essentially Lucifer convincing Eve to eat the apple, right?
Right.
Well, in the old Sumerian versions, the snake that is depicted is actually Enki, the god Enki, and he wanted to give the slaves knowledge so that they knew, you know, essentially giving them consciousness. Because if you're made as a clone and you have no idea your own function except for doing what you're doing, you would have, you know, no consciousness. You're not conscious. What he did is give them knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that knowledge is that you're a person, you're a living, breathing thing. And that's why he's been demonized when he really wasn't the bad guy. I mean, this is about one story, right? That's why the book depicted him as that.
The forbidden fruit.
Right. The forbidden fruit was knowledge. Like, that's what it really is.
And once they got the knowledge, they were cast out of Eden.
Right. Because they...
It makes you wonder, who's the true bad guy in that story, right?
Yeah, I mean, you really want to get down to brass tacks, like... You start to read the Bible from the perspective of a master to a slave, you realize that the God of the Bible is not the good guy of the Old Testament. We're talking about Old Testament in the beginning. I mean,
destruction,
really, I mean,
anger, rage.
Right. Like killing whole cities. Like
for one person,
wiping out whole cities. Exactly. Like that is not a being of love. Like God is not destroying people like that. God is literally the source that all of us come from. Like,
right, isn't that vengeful? Like...
Right, God can't be. God is only love. That is what God is. It's just boundless, endless love. It's, you know, essentially the life principle, as the Buddhists call it. There's, you know, all sorts of different names. The Law of One suggests that, you know, essentially everything is God. That is what all of this is. We are essentially a projection from God trying to experience itself. That is what it all is. That's what it boils down to. And so in the grand scheme of things, there really is no good or evil because the God is everything. So it's all just experience. I mean, I'm aware that we know that there's good and evil by our paradigms here because there has to be. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I'm talking about, in the high levels, there really is no good or evil.
Does it mean that
I
neutral?
Say that to people,
or...
like, what are you talking about? No, it's just like, it's everything is just experience. If God is just experiencing, there really is no, according to that level, there is no good or evil.
Right, which is hard to comprehend, for sure. Yeah.
It really is hard to comprehend. It's like, but you're looking at it from the top-down kind of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But, because obviously there's good and evil, but
there is definitely evil, at least here in our
right. Life. Most definitely, man. Like, you know, going back to that a little bit. Like, essentially, again, we in the beginning, God was alone; there was nothing there. So, I guess God created the universe as it is. It's hard to, I mean, it goes into such detail in these books that it's like, it's more in depth than anybody would ever think. Like, essentially, like, the sun itself is actually an embodiment of consciousness. It's the logos, right? It's or a sub-logos, as they call it. So, like, we have we have God, we have the galaxies, then we have the, you know, the individual solar systems themselves, And right. The sun actually creates life. So the sun is a life source. Like,
oh, yeah. We wouldn't be here without it.
That's why the ancient peoples, like, for instance, like South America, the Egyptians, they worship the sun as God, as a mm-hmm. god, because really the sun is.
Yep.
We just don't look at it like that because we believe in the, everybody essentially believes in the Bible version of God.
Some guy in a cloud with a beard, right?
Yeah, right. He's going to strike you down. He's definitely going to mm-hmm. strike me down for talking all this bad about him. But, again, like anybody can have an experience with the divine just by sitting down and taking some deep breaths and clearing your mind, and there you go. That's all you really need.
Yeah, when you get that feeling of content, just bliss, that's basically God.
Right, yeah, the Indian yogis, like, they, are masters at this stuff, and they'll say the same thing, that, like, we all are God. That's what we are. And, the Western world is, a lot of it, it's actually exploding everywhere. I'm seeing more and more people that are realizing this fact, more and more people that are realizing, you don't have to go to church to experience God. You don't have to believe in a certain way, man. Like,
nope, you don't need to be Christian or nothing. It's just your own internal belief or your own feelings. If you get the faith, if it's God or if it's Allah or Buddha, it's all the same thing.
Right. And, like, what I don't freaking like, man, is the consistent war, the hating each other because you choose to believe in a different thing. Like, that doesn't never made any sense to me, man. Like, it's never made sense to me that we literally slaughter thousands of people because, like, the Crusades slaughter thousands
in God's
of
name.
People to,
yeah.
Right. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't
it
know.
Is.
That's, like, one of the things that, because I used to be really devout Christian, like, when I was younger, for a little bit, one of the things that turned me away is that the idea that a Buddhist monk, for example, I asked this to a pastor one time, so a Buddhist monk can spend his entire life, in devotion to spirituality, but according to the Christian belief, if he doesn't accept Jesus, he will go to hell.
Going to hell.
And
yeah.
That is something that's never, ever, ever sat well with me. Because I can't believe that most of the world is going to hell because they didn't accept it. That doesn't make any sense.
Even if they're a good person.
Right, no. That's something I could never get behind. I'm not.
Same here.
I'm not closed-minded like that.
Mm-mm. And how could an all-loving God banish you to hell for eternity? Imagine eternity. That is literally forever.
Right, literally. Like.
Mm-hmm. You can't come back, according to that.
You know what I mean? Like,
because you didn't.
And the idea that most Christians will tell you that as long as you repent on your deathbed, you're good to go. And that's mind blowing to me. You can live a messed up, completely messed up life, but as long as you accept Jesus at the very end, you can. No matter what you did, you go to hell. Come on, man. That's you start to question this stuff, and it falls apart.
Yeah.
Like. And I'm not trying to shoot down anybody who's listening that believes in God. I need to stress that. I need to stress that as much as I can. But what I'm saying is that you can believe in God and not, like, judge everyone else for not accepting your beliefs. It's okay. You can have this relationship without – you can be open-minded. Like, I believe in God 100%. I just don't believe in the same way as everybody else.
Right. Can you think about it? Even Buddhism is actually older than Christianity, but yet they say they're wrong.
It really is.
And
right. It's 100% is older. Like, I mean, Christianity is one of the youngest religions.
But yet they're right.
A lot of people honestly don't really understand Jesus' teachings. He doesn't really understand. Like, they don't understand what he was trying to teach them. And like, you just need to be, good to other people. Because what you're doing, essentially, if all of us are God, right? You're doing to someone else is you're doing it to yourself. So if you're treating others with respect, you're respecting yourself, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. If you're, judging another person, you judge yourself. That's why judge not, lest you be judged. That's what it means.
Yep. And treat others as you want to be treated.
And it's because you're essentially, we're all God, just walking around in flesh. And I mean, that's now, definitely something, by all means, like, look into this stuff.
It is definitely so much in that subject. You mentioned earlier about logos and sub-logos. There's a lot of people out there who don't know what that is. You want to touch on that a little bit?
Yep. So the in the very, very complicated Law of One books about this, like, I'm telling you, this is a physicist asking this person a trans big questions. Essentially, you have God as the source, right? So branching out from that, you know, the universe is just massive. So then you have the galaxies, and there's, you know, an infinite number of galaxies. So the logos essentially is the mind of the galaxy. And then you have the sub-logos, which is the mind of the solar system. And then from that, we are a sub-sub-logos. I know it's confusing, but, like, that's what it is. So, like, the sun itself is the life giver to our solar system. You know, like, life, you know, exists on this planet. Everybody thinks it's an accident. A lot of people think it's an accident. You know, we're the product of random evolution. And
right.
It's just mind-blowing to think that somebody can accept that. That life is literally a miracle walking around.
Right. So the sun would be a logos.
Yes, the sun is a logos. But it's, I guess, a sub-version of the mind of the galaxy. Just look at it as the mind. The logos is the mind of the galaxy. The sub-logos is the mind of the solar system.
Okay.
And then we, beyond that, you know, our own mind.
And God is
and
the
each,
overall consciousness of everything.
Yes, God is the overall source that all this is springing from. You know, infinite intelligence is one of the names. You know, they call it, in the Law of One, they call it intelligent infinity. So, essentially, the universe is limitless. Absolutely, there is no end. It's just infinity. So, and there's also different dimensions. So, not only is there this universe, there's also, you know, this universe, or the universe is, it's like a multidimensional thing, or multiverse.
A multiverse. Yep, multiverse.
So they also suggest that there's a really good explanation in there about, like, deja vu and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To get off a different subject here, but, like,
no, you're good. Go
is
it.
That we actually exist in multiple universes at the same time. Our,
I believe,
you know, our true authentic self. So when deja vu happens, you're actually, it's the universe linking up. You know, your self is linking up. This is happening in a different version of this right now. And I know you've experienced it in dreams, as you've told me, like, where you essentially see yourself in a different thing. And I've actually, on psychedelic drugs, experienced multiple different versions of myself. Like, one in female form, one in, like, all sorts of different things. And, like, I couldn't get back to myself.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, man. I don't even know how to explain it to this day.
Well, that's the thing. People assume that in every universe, you're exactly the same person you are now. That's not the case. The body is unique, but it's the consciousness that's the same in every dimension.
Yeah.
Just in different bodies.
100%.
It's still you.
It's
but
the,
you can be a female, like you said, or, you know, completely different looking in other universes, but it still is you.
Yeah, we are 100% just a vessel. That's it. This is a body for this consciousness to, you know, to learn, to grow. You know, we are on essentially a mission. Like, we have to deal with, you know, karma is a real thing. Like, we have to deal with things that we did. So if you mess up, you kill somebody in this life, you know, that's something you're going to have to carry with you, and you're going to have to deal with that. Whether you deal with it in this lifetime, you're going to have to deal with it in another lifetime. And
it,
what we do, reincarnation is real.
Oh, yes, it is.
Right. It's, you know, and what ironic little thing, there's actually a lot of proof that reincarnation was taught in the original teachings of the Bible. The original apostles taught it. You know, according to Jesus, actually talked about reincarnation, but it's been removed. If you look at the Apocryphary, I believe they're called books, you know, the ones that are removed, like the Book of Enoch, they talk about, you know, reincarnation as, like, a regular thing. They all believed it.
Yeah. And
I
most
don't know
other
why they don't
do.
Just teach that. Right.
But they want you to think you only have one chance to get it right, and that's it. But that can't happen in one lifetime.
No, it's impossible, man. Like, I mean, you live one life, and then we all go to heaven for eternity. It's a fascinating idea, and I do believe that you spend you know, a good portion of time in this bliss place, but you eventually got to come back. And what I also believe, like, and according to In the Long Run, is that you will also repeat lifetimes with a lot of the same people. Like, for instance, for all we know, like, you know, we could be coming back and, like, we cross paths. I mean, we cross paths with your significant other or, you know, maybe your children. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've all done this before.
There's no doubt. That's the true meaning of a soulmate. Not necessarily someone that, you know, you're bound to be with, like, a lover, but a soulmate is somebody that you encounter in different lifetimes.
Right.
That more than likely, me and you have been connected in some other lifetime somehow.
100%, man. I mean, again, I don't, we don't, we also don't believe in coincidences, man. Like, it's crazy that we end up linking up and we started, I don't know, definitely talking about all this stuff and now we're doing podcasts. Like, this is definitely something I've been wanting to do and I definitely hope we do more shows and, like, we can get, like, more of a direction. Like, we can spend shows talking about certain things because, like, I have a lot of knowledge. I just honestly, as you can tell, I get a little bit loop-de-loop.
That's all of us. That's all of us there. And even tonight's episode is more, you know, it's kind of an introduction to you just to get you kind of, you get your feet wet with the show, but definitely in future episodes we have a, you know, one to be more direct in the subject matter. But tonight's just more like a, you know, it's, you know, here and there, kind of a broad spectrum of what you had to offer us, you know, to give to the world. And like I said, coming up in other shows, we can kind of narrow it down.
For sure, man. That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm glad. I'm just making sure that nobody's thinking I'm just rambling on about random stuff, because I am. It's okay.
That's what tonight's all about. It's all good.
It's definitely, obviously, I'm interested in the subject, and I do have a lot of knowledge. And, like, most of the time, I don't realize how much I know until people start asking me stuff. And I'm like, oh, crap, I guess. You know, the dozens of books I've read in the past couple of years on the subject is...
Yeah, you got a lot of knowledge.
Really paid off.
You know a lot of stuff.
I mean, honestly, since, what is it, when I really become, I don't know. There's a date I had, or not a date, but a time frame was so, like, I look back 10 years ago, friends. I'm going to give you an example. 10 years ago, I think 100% differently than I do now. And I don't believe that I was conscious at that point. I think everybody at some point in their lives, you know, if they do take the step, they become conscious. So becoming aware that you're what you're doing in your life. So a lot of times, you know, I'm going to digress on this subject. So when you come into the world, you're bound by, say, your, what is the zodiac sign? You know, you're bound by a certain set of rules until you realize what's going on. And then all of a sudden, you're like, okay, I'm living and breathing. I'm not just repeating my same patterns. And you start to question and look at your life and start to try to learn from your mistakes. And that's when you become conscious. It's like a switch gets flipped. You know, a lot of people, they go to church and they start to find this stuff. And it's that feeling, like that divine spark, that little spark that gets lit. And that's essentially what happened to me. I started reading different books and started really looking at my life. And I realized that I am the cause of my problems. And that's a big step. Once you make that realization, you start to like, holy crap, okay. So, like, I realized, you know, I was in a depressed state for so long, and then I started reading books, and I'm like, you know what? I can bring myself out of this. I can, you know, I'm smart enough. I've been spending my whole life thinking I'm dumb as hell. And in reality, I'm fucking intelligent. I'm an American language.
100%. 100%.
And, like, I did. It was like a defense mechanism most of my life to pretend that I was stupid, because that way people didn't expect anything from me. Like, I wasn't, I didn't have grand expectations. But then I started reading. And I'm like, damn, okay, maybe I'm not dumb. If I understand things in a way that other people don't.
Yes, you can comprehend it more so,
Right. And, like, that's what makes certain people unique. You know, everybody has something that's unique about them. They just don't believe they do. Most of them don't. You know what I mean? Like, we believe what society wants us to believe about us. We believe what our parents want us to believe about ourselves. Like, we don't really form our own opinions until we start to question everything.
Right. We just think we're here to
work
that, you know, Monday to Friday job, come home, sleep, eat, go to work, and just repeat that same thing for the rest of your life, and that's not how it should be.
Right. And that's why I have such a hard time doing that, especially after, you know, becoming conscious. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's hard for me
it's
to
hard.
Live like that because it's like, it's slavery, man. Like,
oh, it is. Yeah,
you, I mean, a few people, they get up and they're able to escape this 9-to-5, you know, they make a bunch of money and they're able to do it. But like, for most of us, man, it's a day in, day out thing just to survive. Nothing is free. And it's, like you can't even drink water for free in this world.
And
that's a,
it's all
basic
set that
of
way
life.
On purpose. It's all deliberate. It's all a distraction to keep us, you know, close in their system. It's all deliberately that
right.
way.
And that was like one of the first things I dumped into when I, because I had a bunch of time when I worked at the security job, and like I would spend 8 hours a day where I didn't see anybody. I worked at a data center, so all I had to do was make sure nobody came inside. You know what I mean? Which nobody
mm-hmm.
ever did. So I
ran right.
nonstop when I did that and started reading. And the more I freaking read, the more I understood, like, that
mm-hmm.
you know, society isn't correct.
It definitely
you know,
is not.
Like, no, this is not the way we are intended to live, but all we can really do is, you know, keep trying.
Right, like we started to wake up, and all of a sudden, oh, here's COVID, here's monkeypox, you know, here's all this fear-based stuff that's meant to distract
right.
you and keep you busy.
But that's that gave me the zing, man. That gave me the zing. I remembered something I wanted to talk about. So, like I've noticed, and I'm sure that you've noticed, the large amount of people now that are waking up to the fact
mm-hmm.
that the world is messed up. Like the conspiracy community has absolutely exploded during COVID. And you know why that is?
They've had more time to stay home and think about it.
Exactly. They had way more time, so they weren't going to work every day and having, you know, because essentially you go to work every day, you don't have time to research this. Most people don't have time to look at this stuff. They don't have time to go, you know, watch a bunch of videos, read a bunch of books because they're busy making a living. And so, yeah,
even to get home.
Getting online and...
Yeah.
And then, but that brings up the double-edged sword. So, you know, there is a lot of solid conspiracy stuff, absolutely solid, and there's been a lot of stuff that's been proven to be true. But there's also a lot of conspiracy stuff that's put out there on purpose to
mm-hmm.
confuse you to, like, it's misinformation that's put out on purpose. And what
mm-hmm.
that has done, because they realize people are waking up, is now... You know, anybody, you talk about anybody being a conspiracy theorist and it's automatically, oh, you must believe in, you know, you must be a Trump supporter. You must be that. It's mind-blowing how much it's been used. It's been weaponized now to not only turning us against each other. Like, that's crazy, man. So you're automatically believing QAnon if you believe in any kind of conspiracy stuff. So, you know, you automatically should bust out. Right. And, like, that's the furthest thing from the truth. You know what I mean? Like.
Mm-hmm.
I never believed in the whole QAnon thing. However, I do believe that the world is run by a secret cabal. So there is bits and pieces of that story. It's true. I just don't believe that Trump is a god. I mean, essentially, they deify him.
Yeah.
But I also...
Like a savior.
I don't really want to go down the subject, but I'm here. I also believe that the man wasn't playing ball, and...
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're out to get him so much, is because he wasn't on the payroll of these people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying he's good. That motherfucker's he's a piece of shit. But, like,
he's a businessman, yeah.
I don't think, like, I don't play the political game. You know what I mean? I'm not, I think both sides are a manipulation.
Both sides are the same person. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. The world is run by an elite group of bankers.
A handful of people
actually
own the earth. Yeah.
Yes, we like you can, and that can be traced. That's the thing that most people don't realize, is that all you do is follow the money, man. That's it. You follow the money.
Yeah.
And it's been proven. Like the world is run. I think it's 100 families run the entire world.
Well, I thought
essentially,
it was less than
that. There's like a. No, it actually is. It's 100 corporations run by. I don't know the number of families off the top of my head. I think it's 100 total corporations essentially run the world.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people, they don't want to believe it because the truth is harder to believe than, you know, the lie. It's, you ever heard the allegory of Plato's cave where people are essentially, they're in a cave and they have a fire and the only thing they can see, you know, their whole life is spent watching the shadows on the cave. And when they go out of the cave, they can't face reality.
Right.
Their whole life, that's the only thing they know. And that's what the problem is with, you know, most people, is that it's easier just to sit and believe what we're told, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. Like, for example, they just recently released the UFO footage that was actually put out there by the Pentagon. And they literally say they do not know what these things are, but there's so many distractions out there that nobody even cares.
Right. Dude, that's the thing that has blown my mind. Like, I downloaded that entire doc dump, and I've spent a bunch of time going through those documents. That'd be a good, honestly, that'd be a good whole episode to do, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. And like, so they've essentially admitted, absolutely admitted, that UFOs are real, and nobody cares. It's like, that is one of the biggest, that's one of the biggest releases ever. Like, for them to admit that
crazy
UFOs are real.
Like, damn, these things are real. They actually cannot tell us. People should be just flipping
out.
They
do, but they also, now most people believe that that's also a lie, that the government is lying to them about that. That's what I'm saying, is what I'm getting at. Like, they've been releasing so much misinformation into the world.
We don't know what's real.
Nobody knows what's real. Nobody does.
And there's nobody we can, man.
Like, and that is the whole idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because the negative people, so again, it goes back to the law of one. There's the negative people that want power over the world. They feed on our fear. They feed on our, on all these emotions of anger. And and in order for our planet to graduate to the next entity together, we have to come together as one. If we came together as one, there's a reason why they say faith can move mountains. Like, if we came together as one, there's nothing like anybody could do. And that is the goal.
Yeah.
But we are kept divided for a reason.
Yeah, borders everywhere, gender, race, everybody's being, you know, segregated, kept separate for that reason.
And in all honesty, none of that even matters, man. It doesn't matter what somebody looks like, what, you know, what color of the skin is. None of that matters. What matters
is
that we're human beings together.
Yeah.
And again, since the beginning, we've been kept divided so that we cannot come together. That's the goal. But it's going
to
happen.
And that's what they're doing to this day.
Like,
with all these wars and, you know, talk of war and threats, and it's just going to keep getting us even further and further divided.
Right. What would happen? You know, like, if what needs to happen is that the citizens of this entire world need to come together and say, no, we're not going to be used as cannon fodder for your stupid-ass wars. We're not gonna hate each other because you tell me to hate them. That's so beyond dumb. And like, you really start to think about it, it's like, man, like, since the beginning of time, we're used as cannon fodder. Like,
like,
I mean, think about the Revolutionary War, the way they fought. Those people lined up in rows to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy. And I mean, it's it's less like that now, but you're still, if they tell you 300 people to go rush that hill into a machine gunner, they're gonna do it. And for what? For what, man?
I just know they're going to die.
Because they tell us.
Some
like,
cause. You know.
Because it's crazy, dude. Like, you really start to ask these questions and it all unravels, man. It all absolutely unravels. And, you know, if there's one thing I want to do with talking about any of this stuff is to make people start to question why we're accepting what we're accepting. And, you know, maybe we can do something different as a society.
Yep. That the individual wants change, but as a society, we're too scared to be that first person.
You have to, man. So, like,
the only
person to change is you. Because once you start to change and once you start to, like, what we're doing right now, like, if we can even get to one person, we've made a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to make one person question what's going on around them is the goal.
That's the goal. And we can do it. We're going to keep on with this show and if we can't do it weekly basis, if possible, we'll keep on putting that there.
I can most certainly probably do weekly basis, man. I definitely enjoy talking about the subject and actually healing for me, too. Like, I'm sure it's good for you, too, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as normal working adults, we tend to kind of, you know, get stuck in the world and shelter off from everybody.
Well, a good sign of that is that we got like 10 minutes left. It's already been almost an hour, and it seems like minutes.
Right. Definitely,
this hour has flown by. So, yeah, we could definitely make an hour last easily.
Yeah, most certainly, man. Like, we could break down any one of these subjects that we've been talking about into an episode easily.
Go on for years and talk about this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And there's lots of people that talk about it, and like, you know, I follow there's a lot of people I've been following for a long time that, that, you know, have really blown my mind on a lot of these subjects, and that's kind of what I want to do. Like, I like to talk about it, and
me too. I
want to help open people's minds. And one of the things I want to do coming up is going to that CSETI Ranch place that you went to, like,
here
in Washington.
You got to check it out. I wish I can go out there with you, but you got to check it out.
I've been so terrified since for whatever reason, like, I'm not exactly ready to discuss, but since I was a child, I've been terrified of, like, extraterrestrials, specifically grays.
Yep.
And, there's no logical reason for me to be scared. Well, there hasn't been until, me and my brother have a shared experience from when we were kids, and, like, I didn't know we had that until, I don't remember what it was, like a year or so ago, like, we were playing a game together, and he was like, you remember, like, this, you know, essentially it was like a white light, and we both have missing memories as well from it, but, again, that's a subject, I don't know if I'm necessarily ready to talk about in this part, but we'll talk about it in the future ones, but anyway,
whenever you're ready,
horrifyingly scared of, like, gray aliens, even seeing pictures of them, like, terrify me, and why? And
they're creepy looking as it is, but yeah, there's got to be something more to it. And like I said, when you're ready, we can dive into that. But I definitely understand.
I know. Yeah, right. Like, I don't know. It's a crazy thing, man. Like, I mean, back in the '90s, I remember watching the X-Files, and like, it seemed like it was a common thing, people getting abducted.
It actually is a common thing. Walk up and get free from realize.
Right. And, in the UFO community, when you listen to stuff, like, there's, like, thousands and thousands of cases of people being abducted. And, you know, if even one of these are true, even one, you know, that means that, like, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than anybody could ever have thought. And there's a lot being covered up.
No doubt. There's a ton to talk about into the show right there.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. That's definitely a good one to discuss. But that's also, it's going to be facing a big fear for me to go out to this ranch and go see the stuff. It is. And like I told you that I had like that dream where I had to turn and face the alien that was chasing me because that is also one of my memories. So like one of my memories I have, I'm just going to say it, like is being on some kind of a ship and being chased through this weird, I don't know how to explain this, like what I was on. I mean, I guess it was like a ship, but I was trying to escape from something chasing me. And like, I've never been able to tell if it was real or fake. If it came from a movie, like I've never been able to find a movie that it came from. Like,
it could be a suppressed
memory. I don't know. And, it could be a real thing. Like, but the more I try to think about it, like it's like a memory block. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I remember bits and pieces. But my whole childhood.
They can actually wipe memories and you know, cover them up or change them. They got that technology to do that.
Yeah, 100%, man. Like, I definitely believe that technology exists. I definitely believe, because there's all sorts of people that talk about being abducted, that they have memories wiped, they have memories implanted. Like, whether or not I was actually abducted, that remains to be seen, but it does make the question. I'm open-minded.
I would love to talk with a hypnotist that can, you know, unlock repressed memories. Does anybody that are listening that can do that, you know, let me know, because I would love to work with you and people that, you know, have these memories, see if they can bring these memories back.
Yeah, like, there was I definitely would love to go see one, but I need to go with somebody who actually believes in the possibility of this stuff, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like, not just some regular hypnotist, but somebody who does it for that purpose.
Yeah, like, we could spend a whole episode talking about hypnotism in general, man, because, like, that's a subject that people really don't understand, man. Like, your subconscious mind can literally act out anything.
It's a computer. Whatever you think or see, it's there. It might be buried, but it's there.
Right. Like, I mean, you can hypnotize somebody to be drunk, and they will literally be drunk. Like, you could tell somebody they're drinking liquor from a water glass, and they will act it out. That means your mind can literally create.
Perception is reality. If you perceive it and believe it, it's reality.
Like, I think I did a podcast episode called The Placebo Effect, and it talks about, you know, most people don't understand, like, why the placebo effect would work. And it's like your mind can literally create not only symptoms but cures. Like,
And that's the fact.
Crazy.
All right, Josh, we're coming down to about 3 minutes left here. I guess we need to start wrapping up so we can save some for later here. Now, what I want you to do is put out – you do a podcast yourself – where can they go and listen to that stuff?
So if you go on, I mean, I use the Anchor app, so it's on Spotify. I think it's on Google. I don't know if it's on Google. Whatever. Spotify is the main one, but it's called Synchronized Universe, and it's got 333 in there. So, like, at the beginning, I need to probably shorten it because it would be easier to tell. But it's Synchronized Universe, but 3 in the beginning, 3 in the middle of the two words, and 3 at the end, like the number 3. Yeah, I definitely should shorten it so it's easier to tell.
Yeah, he's got some great stuff on there. Yeah, if you do. And also, you can go to our Facebook page and find you on there, too. You know, Paranormal Truth Seekers of the Pacific Northwest. Or, you know, you can find me on YouTube. And, you know, we got plenty of social media coverage out there. But I definitely want to get you out there as well so people can hear your podcast.
There's a lot of stuff that I like to talk about and try to help people through, man. I've been through a lot in my life, and I want to turn that into something better.
You have. Well, if you're up for it, we could do this on a weekly Tuesday night, about the same time.
Yeah, man, I definitely am up for it.
It's not set in stone. If you can't do it sometimes, that's fine. But I do want to, you know, work with you and put a lot more of this stuff out there because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, easily, man. Easily. There's tons. Again, we drove it on for an hour, and it's really
it seemed
not
like it was
very long at all.
All right. Well, with 2 minutes left, I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping up. I want to thank you, Josh, for coming on the show tonight. It's been great. I've enjoyed every second of it and can't wait to do some more.
Absolutely, sir. I appreciate you for having me on here. I'm glad I actually got the nerve to come up and talk because, you know, I've been dodging.
You did great. And if anybody missed the show live, it will be archived at the site. I'll put the link on the Facebook page as well. That's on Blog Talk Radio, and that's Paranormal Talk. All right, well, Josh, we'll go ahead and wrap up here, and I'll probably, you know, send you a chat here in a few minutes.
Got you, man. All right, appreciate you.
All right, everybody, have a good night, and thanks for listening.
Much love and light, my friends.
Love and light. See you later.